The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hello, lads. Oh, here we are. Hey! Hello! Weekend podcast. Well, it's not a weekend podcast, is it? It's like one is a year podcast.
Yeah, let's do that. Annual podcast.
Where are you?
I can't believe we're still on Skype. It feels very 2019.
Yeah, it's the way forward, kid. Honestly, it's got AI the lot now and you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, do we have to be here if it's AI?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they've got artificial intelligence rather than real dummies. Okay.
I'm pretty sure AI could do better talk on stocks and shares than me.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe get ChatGPT up, Steve, and ask you a couple of questions and see, you know, and just see what they say. You know what I'm saying? How are you, lads? Anyway, you all right? Steve, what is that? What are you doing? Don't put silly voices on.
Well, I was just yawning.
Good start.
Hello. Here we are. It's the second day of the second month, the year 2024. In guys, we're in the future. You know what I'm saying? Often years back when I was a kid, honestly, like 2024, 2025, that was the year of futuristic science, you know, and sci-fi. We're almost there, aren't we, with Elon Musk putting chips in people's brains. Do you know why he didn't volunteer for that, did he? Elon Musk?
What?
Have you seen that?
No.
There's a guy agreed to have a chip implanted in his brain. It's from one of Elon Musk's companies.
Wow.
I'm like, what? Are you nuts or what?
Yeah.
I know it's not Elon.
What does
the
chip do?
Well, it's the apparently you can call people. that's an advantage I can see. You can call people without having to use your hands.
It's never been a big issue for me personally.
No. I know. But the trouble is, if you've got no hands, it is.
Good point.
It's for that, see. It's good. I think apparently it's going to help people with no hands and no arms. Anyway, lads. Anyway, let's go to personal matters. Where are you at the moment, Peter?
I'm in the Welsh capital, Cardiff.
And Steve in the Welsh capital, Cardiff. They've moved in together.
It's like a full circle, Pete, isn't it? You've come back again.
Keep it clean, Steve. Come on, I know you're in the same house.
I'm in the inner circle.
I don't want us getting that too close up to each other. Just stand back, you know. Give yourself a bit of mic space. So let's talk about stocks and shares. Stocks and shares.
Are you still doing them?
Oh yes. Oh, by the way, it's Six Nations this week. This weekend, isn't it? Yeah, looking forward to that. I mentioned. I get very excited just before the Six Nations, just before the game starts. You know, just before we lose, and then you can get excited before the game starts. And then at the end, miserable. But who are you playing this weekend, Peter? When I say you, I mean obviously England.
Yeah, I'm not actually involved, but England are playing Italy.
Oh, that's really easy, shouldn't it? Home or away?
I would hope so. Worrying if it's not, yeah. And Wales are losing to Scotland, aren't they?
Yeah, probably, yes. Probably. Scotland. Six Nations on Netflix. Have you watched it?
I've watched a couple of those episodes, yes.
What do you think?
Recommendation. Yeah, it's good.
I thought it was good. Paddy came across on the WhatsApp. Paddy makes sports documentaries now because of McEnroe. Yeah. He's highly critical of anything, isn't he?
Yeah.
It involves sport and, you know, real life flying the ball. It's very, very cookie cutter to me, yes. Not very good. I thought, if you're into Six Nations, you don't have to be in there. Do you know what just shows how brutal the game is, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Really is. Yeah. I mean, they do use effects and all that, and every time they tackle, which, you know, heightens the experience.
You like an effect, don't you?
Yeah, but it does show, doesn't it? How I think in about 10
how
years'
good
time.
The effects are.
Yeah, no, but it is a hard game, isn't it? I don't see how those guys actually walk off, you know, the pitch. Like, who was it? Was it Finn Russell or was it? No, Stuart, what's his name?
Stuart Hogg.
Have you got that bit where he's injured? Or if you watch that, you think, God. He literally has problems walking. And you think, how does he get up and get on the pitch? But it's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Watch that. It'll get you hyped up, you know, for Six Nations. If you haven't watched it, well, it's been late now. It's probably... Anyway, have you been keeping an eye on... Stephen, take us through your stock portfolio. Take us through, you know, your investment strategy, please.
Strategy.
I do a monthly investment into my Vanguard.
A Oh, that's nice. What, remotely, did you say, or monthly?
Monthly, yes. Okay. Although I think I did discuss this before. I am going to be moving from Hargreaves and Lansdowne. I will be dumping them.
Oh, are you Larry? No,
yeah, are you Larry?
At the end of this tax year, they will be gone.
And why is that, then, Steve?
Because they're charging me too much.
Do you know what? I'm impressed by Steve's research here. I didn't know this. Yeah. Explain it. It doesn't make any sense, but explain it, Steve. What are you going to do?
So basically, in fact, it's something you said, Pete, ages ago. You're like, because I said I'm only investing into Vanguard. So you, and you said, why are you using Hargreaves and Lansdowne? I could just go straight to Vanguard. So I did. I started researching if it'd be cheaper to do it that way. But it turns out it's even not cheaper to do it that way, to do it with, what was the company called, just?
Interactive Investor. They're owned by Aberdeen.
Interactive Investor.
Aberdeen, yeah.
So basically, if you've got more than, I can't remember the exact amount, it was £80,000 or £90,000 in your ISA, it works out cheaper to go with Interactive Investor.
Look at money bags here. Look at money bags showing off.
Yeah, listen to it.
They charge you a flat rate of £5 a month rather than the, I can't remember what it is, but it's a lot more Hargreaves and Lansdowne charge you. So, yeah,
but also, what's very odd about this, if you are buying just Vanguard products and you're buying them through Interactive Investor, it's cheaper to do it through Interactive Investor than Vanguard. And Vanguard
is
cheap.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, weird, isn't it? I don't understand that.
Yeah, but Harry and Larry, literally, I don't know if you saw a while back, but the I think it was the FCA or someone came out saying there's you know, companies charging, overcharging for fees and all that stuff. And AJ Bell came out and said, we're reviewing our process. We've been in the process of reviewing our prices for a while. Ari and Larry didn't come out with anything. we're keeping our prices high. That's why we earn lots of money.
Yeah.
So there you go. So, yeah, you can't swap mid-tax year, can you? So I'm going to wait until the end of tax year to open an ISA with them. And, yeah, I'm going to move it all over.
Yeah, so if anyone's out there, if you are just investing in a Vanguard fund, all right, and you're using Harry and Larry, there's probably a more competitive platform like Interactive Investor. Or even, right, even Vanguard itself is...
Only when you go over a certain amount. So
when you go over a couple of mil. Yeah, yeah. If you're over a couple of mil like Steve is, then it doesn't work out, mate.
As long as it works at less than £5 a month compared to their interest, their charges.
Their fees.
Yeah. Their fees, yeah. That's it, yeah.
What platforms are you on, Pete?
Just the Harry and the Larry and the Vanguard.
Okay, well, maybe you want to switch over, you know, because over time, I mean, if you on the interactive site there, they do, you know, show you how much it will cost you over like 10 years. And it is, you know, it does add up, even if it's like, you know, a half percentage point, it does add up over a long period of time. And literally, that is going into Ari and Larry's pocket, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But Steve, when you say like you can only change the new tax, you can only open a new ISA, but you could transfer all your current ISAs to the new platform anytime.
Yeah, I think you can, Steve. Yeah, because otherwise, if you don't need to do it in one day or whatever, you can transfer straight away, Steve. When you want, I think.
Yeah, because every year's a new tax year. If you like, we're in a new tax year now. It just started, you know, 11 months ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I read you could only own one type of ISA at a time.
So yeah, you can only own one tax year.
Yeah. But you transfer that entirely over to another platform and you just shut the one down.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to open an ISA with Interactive Investor, so I can't open that until...
You can transfer an existing ISA.
Can you?
Yes, you can do that, Steve.
I didn't know that. I thought I had to wait until April the 4th or whatever it is.
He's got part of the puzzle sorted, isn't he? But the thing is, what I'm saying is...
April the 4th is still this tax year. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
So what I'm saying is, Peter's always reluctant now to do these podcasts, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, there are people out there who've built their entire weekend routine around our podcast. There's often guys washing the car. There's people walking the dogs. Like I said, there's men massaging their wives. You know, they do that to the podcast.
Right.
And it just makes them relax and chill a bit and have a little laugh. Because and what you got from there then is that Steve actually learned something off you when you said about, you know, Harry and Larry and the prices and all that stuff. You might as well go via... In fact, I'm via the Vanguard.
Yeah, we could have done that on WhatsApp.
There are about three or four people who listen to this.
Oh, okay.
That'd be invaluable information for.
There's over three people who can now take that advice on board.
Yeah exactly.
Get them to write in and confirm that they've learned something today. That'd be good.
No, literally, seriously, hundreds of people are now thinking, what? thousands, actually. In fact, I mean, yeah. I've done about podcasts for so long. But last time I looked, we were getting thousands of listens. So there we are. But anyway,
it has made me think. Yeah, I do need to look at the fees of Harry and Larry. Cause my investment strategy at the moment is it's been to sit tight and just ride out the storm. And I've been lazy. If I want to be honest, and you look at it and go, actually, I could be saving a few hundred quid a year probably. So maybe I should be doing that.
Well, exactly. The more money you got in there, the more. Well, that's the entire reason Jack Bogle set up Vanguard, because you had all these managed funds that were charging people to underperform, basically, and charging them. And over time, they're ripping them off from life. And Bogle said, listen, I can do an index fund. It'll beat you guys. And he said, no. And he was part of Wall Street then. And they said, okay, well, let's try it. First year, he beat them. His index, he just basically, is a passive income fund. People don't know. There's two types of funds, basically. There's a passive one that just tracks an index of stocks, like the FTSE 100 or S&P 500. It just weights exactly the same as that index. It doesn't cost very much. It's done basically automated. Then you have these managed funds where you have these, city boys coming in. All right, I'll manage your fund for you, mate. All right, you want a bit of return, you've got to give me a bit on the nod as well, mind. And they do that, and then is just chip away. They charge like a couple of percent or something, and that's basically 2% a year off your profit. You put that, compound that over many, many years, and that's why they're driving around in fast cars and, smoking women and drinking ladies, whatever they're doing,
Right, yep.
Yeah, and going on ski trips once every other week. And that's why I said so.
This is the other thing as well, which if you're not that into the investment world, which I'm not, I've never heard of interactive investing before. So my question to Justin was when I spoke to you the other week, it was like, are they actually a decent company? Which obviously they are.
Yeah, but they advertise on TV. That'll do. I used to have Victoria. What's her name? I used to come on the podcast now a couple of times, and you see her on Sky and all that. Doing, she's from Interactive Investor. But I can't say how that makes some money. They're obviously hoping. Well, no, they pretty well actually. The money you deposit with them, make them a bigger. Maybe a loss maker. I don't know what they're doing, but they've obviously got.
Some people just aren't greedy. I think that's what it is.
No, it's not that, Steve. Everyone in the investment it wants to make money. Don't worry about that. But, when you've got an inflow of funds, you've got a lot more optionality, haven't you? Someone like Aberdeen, one of the biggest funds in Iran, they were $4 billion they're worth, or something, or $3 billion assets. In fact, Aberdeen just laid off a load of people. So there we are. Anyway, there we are. Individual stocks, boys, what's happening? Steve, have you? Because, your individual stocks, go on, Stevie, anything happening? Are yours?
No, anything really. They're all down very low in the minuses, and I'm just sitting there hoping one day they'll come back.
They will.
And he's not into the investing world, so.
This year, honestly, the bull market is coming. Already, if you're looking at AIM All Share, for example, right, it's at a very crucial technical point. On off far, Golden Cross is happening. You know what that is, yeah? Steve, you know what that is, yeah?
It's a gay pub.
Yeah, no, not that pub you go to. The Golden Cross is a technical description for when the 50-day
FYI, moving. There is a Golden Cross gay pub in Cardiff. I'm just going to.
You're not being, racist and sexist, no?
No.
Not today.
So you've got to be careful these days, haven't you? Nope. Should I be?
Do you want me to be?
Yeah. Is that what this podcast is about now? So essentially, 50-day moving average crossing up over the 200-day moving average, which will also be curving down but coming up. We're not far from that. We're literally a week or so away from that. That hasn't happened. Well, I'll tell you now. I know you're chomping the bit there on the edge of your seat thinking, when did that last happen, Justin? I'll tell you right now. Hang on, let me see the chart.
When did that happen?
Well, I'll tell you right now, Pete. So it nearly did it back in March 23. We had a bit of a rally. Didn't do it, though. So the death cross, which is the opposite of that, 50-day crossing down over the 200-day, happened top of the bull market. It's almost like with indices. You could just time it by that. If you're doing an index fund, stop investing when that happens. But 18th of November 2021, the last time it crossed up was just after the Dash for Cash crash in July 2020. So we are now literally within spitting distance of an uptrend happening.
Good.
And that, well, honestly, but once money flow starts coming in, once interest rates start coming down, because, you know, it's the old adage, if you can get 5% safe in a bank, yeah, why would you risk losing 50% on an AIM stock? You know,
it doesn't make any sense.
But then when you get like, 2 or 3%, because interest rate, and the market is rallying like crazy, and all your mates who dabble in, a bit of investing, have got a winner, and they're bragging about it, money flow starts to come back in, and then that attracts more money. And so I think we're not far off, boys, honestly. Steve's just strapping. It's been a hard couple of years. It's been like over two years. Yeah. That's a long period of time, isn't it?
Yep, but it feels like it.
Yeah. And I've got to say, I've been, suicidal many times during that bear market. The bear nearly killed me.
Yeah.
It is emotional, though.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see if the stocks that I own, I think a few of them are dead in the water, but I don't know. I'll believe it when I see it. It feels like they're never going to come back, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, actually.
Well, even was it XPF who released some fantastic news last week? It went up by 10%, and then again, classic, by the end of the day, it was lower than it was at the beginning of the day. You're like, come on, who is selling on these little 10% increases? It blows my mind.
Traders. Well, no, the forecasts have changed a bit now. They're pushing out profitability, but which is, and you think, why is that? And you think, well, essentially, I think it's down to, national living wage, all that stuff. The costs have gone up a bit, but demand is still there. And like I said, energy prices coming down, and they'll be fine. It'll recover. But it is a rising tide. Once you start getting the market inflow coming, happening, everything rises. Obviously, the fantastic businesses. Well, not everything. Some of the crap will just sit there and get placed. Placing will. There are companies, because a lot of companies are just delisted because they. And this is, this is natural capitalism at work. For a long time, zombie companies were rubbish. Were existing on free money, basically. Placings and all that stuff. The money was easy come, easy go, and they were spending like crazy. And all of a sudden, the last 12 months or 18 months maybe. They haven't been able to do that, so they've gone through. That's good, though. I mean, not good for the people working there, of course, but essentially, it's good for the real businesses that survived the strain. It's like, what's the analogy for that? When you go through a famine like that, almost you're stronger. The strong get stronger, because there's less competitors in the market.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That's not actually true, is it?
Yeah, kind of.
Now, if you have a stroke or something, you're not necessarily stronger afterwards. If you say that to a stroke victim who can't speak and who's dragging his leg around, don't worry, John. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Do you want to help up from that seat?
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
that's actually true. Oh, we need to go to war and that'll mess everything up, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, it hasn't. There's been two wars bloody going on, really. It hasn't really messed anything up. It's like, the worst thing is.
Well, it did originally.
Yeah, originally.
Stock market took a big old hit, didn't it, when Putin invaded Ukraine? But
is it me, or are we having just more scary macro events than ever? I mean, we've gone through a pandemic, a war. There's like a Middle Eastern war as well. A war in Europe, war in the Middle East. Is China threatening to bomb Taiwan for chips and all that stuff?
Yeah.
And the market will climb. As long as central banks, start reducing interest rates, it's fine. It'll start to rally because it's just money flow. Peter, any stocks you've had? Are you out of Destiny Pharma now?
Yes, well, I had a stop loss in Destiny Pharma. So, again, one of the slightly annoying drop this week, and the stop loss took it out. So, yes, I am currently out. But, I still believe in the long-term story there. So I kind of think, it would be a good one to get back into.
Did you have your stop loss set at an above amount that you bought, so you still made a little bit of a profit?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Oh, yes.
God, look at it. Look at where it's gone to now. I told you then, it literally has gone from, this is right. People have to understand risk and worry. When you're into companies like that, it's very, they are still high risk. They're pre-revenue. They're clinical stage biotech companies, and they rely on the cash they have. Now, when you put out, when it's risen by so much, I 95% return on that, right? That's even if you can get 30% out of every investment. You compound that up. It's phenomenal. In fact, if you get 40% out of every investment, so if you get to the point where you are literally up 40% of stock and you lock in that profit, right, and it goes higher, and maybe move it up a little bit, but you make sure it's not too tight the stops because you have a little natural dips and it'll go back up. But if you can do that, right, you start with 10 grand, right, and you do 40% a year. In 20 years, £5.9 million.
Is it really? There you go. Yeah.
So, you know, you can't, you know, when you double that, more than that, you can't just look down their face and say, I don't mind if the stock goes down, it takes me out, no, I'm a long-term investor here. That's what you've got, it's almost snobbery about long-term investors, traders. I don't want to be, you know, in and out of stocks. No, I don't. But if a company's performing and I'm getting a return on my money, because that's what it's about, getting a return on your money, then I'll keep holding. Once it starts dipping, you know, I keep saying this over and over. I've learned so much in the last 2 years, more than I've ever learned ever in my life in investing. And I realise I've studied, you know, lots of stuff, lots of books. There's two basic reasons why people lose money or don't make money. And in fact, I'm writing a book on it. And it's becoming very long. Okay. It's becoming very long. It's about 250 pages already. But.
Wow.
And this is the key, right? Number one, the book's entitled How Not to Lose Money in the Stock Market, right? Because I did lose. In the last 2 years, I lost a decent chunk of money, and I shouldn't have. It was just a basic error. And the number one thing is this. If you don't lose money in the stock market, what's going to happen? What's the other options? Only two other options that are going to happen, isn't there?
What if you don't lose money?
If you don't lose money on an investment, what can happen? What's the possible outcomes?
You can make money?
Yes.
Okay. Or you could die.
Or you could die. That's it. So that's
what the other option is.
Well, it's break even, isn't it?
Oh, break even. Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. But what I'm saying is there's three parts of that equation. If you remove the not losing, if you remove the losing money bit,
right,
what can harm you then? So it's based on that premise. And the premise is basically.
You've written 250 pages on that.
Well, it's a bit more than that. I go into all different metrics, but I'm saying.
Really big font.
No, so, really big font, lots of big pictures of the kids and the wife and all that. Completely unrelated. And, you know.
Are you into an audiobook?
You know, a couple of beauties I've seen, you know, holiday. This is a lady I saw, you know, strolling down the promenade in Bournemouth. Attractive, right.
You should do an audiobook and get Steve to voice it. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah. And.
I haven't got the time for that.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
I'll get Paddy to do it.
Yeah. I can't do your audio book this week. I'm scratching my arse. Yeah, that's too busy. Got really bad itch down there. So essentially, right, number one is two big things. Most private investors, right, I didn't look at the stats, it's not just trading. Most private investors, 70% of private investors, lose money investing in individual companies. It's different with funds. Funds, they tend to make money because they're a lot easier. They are diversified and all that. So funds are fine. You know, it's a high probability. You've got to be really crap to invest in a fund at the top of the market, not dollar cost average. Just put a big chunk in at the top of the market and it come down in the next 2 years. But even then, after that, over 20 years, you're going to make money probably, or 10 years, even less than that in a fund. But individual companies, most people lose money, okay? And the two reasons is they let their losers get too big, right? They don't cut fast enough on when they know it's losing. And so they've also, the book is broken down into three bits. So the what, the when, the how, right? The how is very important. It's hardly ever taught. And the what is what to invest in. The when is more about looking at charts. So, that, you know, the what is fundamental analysis, looking at growth, health. When is about charts. But how underpins everything. And unless you have portfolio management, you're not going to make money. And yet I've read many book on investing, and they very rarely talk about portfolio management. It is like the foundation of what you're building your house on, or it's the roof of your house, pretty much. You know, the roof goes off, everything else is knackered inside. So you need it. And so if you do the fundamentals, and you do look at the technicals, and you're not in a massive downtrend, and it's looking like a healthy company, it's growing, it's good value, and then you go into a stock, right, and you go too big, and it goes wrong, but you've done the other two bits. You know, it seems to be growing, it seems to be good value, but it's going the wrong way. It just takes a dip. Now, if it goes down 20% more, something's gone wrong. Cut it there, 20% cut, right? And then you can't lose any more. Now, so what you do, for example, is don't go big on the first initial investment, because it's painful taking a loss. Steve will tell you that. He hasn't cut because... Now, if you've gone really small, Steve, on the first one, right? On the first initial investment. For example, and I give this example in the book. Let's say you got a 100 grand portfolio because that's a simple round figure and you risk 3%. That's all, right? Of initial value in these stocks. So total portfolio, 3%, 3 grand. You're risking 3 grand initial value. But you brought a 20% stop loss in, right? So it dips and the maximum you can lose is £600. At 20%, it's gone. Now, you know, and I say, let's say you own two stocks, for example, and you put 5 grand in each. Or in fact, let's say you put two stocks, 7 grand in one, 3 grand in another, and the one doubles, the one halves. Unfortunately, the 3 grand doubles, the seven grand halves. Now you've lost 500 quid. That's 9,500 quid. But if you were equal weighted in both, for example, right, and you did 3%, and one doubles, one halves, then you're still in profit. Because one's gone down to 2.5 grand, one's gone up to 10 grand, that's 12.5 grand. But if you cut that loser when it dipped by 20%, you'd only lost £1,000. So that means you gained, your result would have been 60% better than if you'd not cut your loser. So if you cut your losers when you know they're going to be losers, something's gone wrong, you've done all the other research, right? Basically, you will not lose. And then what you do, so what it is about is leveraging towards your winners, not your losers, you know? So what you do is this. If a stock rises by 20% and you bought, you put a stop loss, right in your buy level. 20%, hopefully the volatility is fine there, right? And then what you've got there, boys, right, is the nirvana of investing. It's the holy grail. It's the promised land.
Yep.
What you've got there is a risk-free investment. Investing is all about risk and reward. If you remove the risk, all you've got is reward or break even, which is not so bad, you know. But once you remove the loss side of it, you're onto a winner. You can't do anything wrong. If it rises 20% again, you add another tranche, 3%. You do the same thing. You put 20% stop loss in that. So then you've got £6,000 invested, but you're only risking £600 again. So you've doubled your exposure, but your risk hasn't gone up. And you keep doing that. On a winner, you can keep going all the way. As long as, and after a while, don't keep moving the stop losses up. Once you're in profit on all three stops or four stops, whatever, four investments in that, don't keep moving them up. Because if it's a good company, it's a winner, it'll carry on winning. So the second reason is that people don't make money is they cut their winners. They think they've got a profit, they just cut it. Never cut the upside. Put a stop loss in below, because it could go on to do something. JD Sports did 13,000% between 2009 and 2021. It was quite volatile, but if you just, you know, say, gone to the first 100%, then put stop losses there, move up slightly, you've done very well. So one says, two rules, right? Don't go too big, don't let your losers get too big, and let your winners run. You do those two things. Now, most private investors do the opposite thing. They let the winners go too big, so then when they get a little bit of profit, they take it very quickly because they're scared of it dipping. And that's the problem. That's the key. I go into a lot more detail, interesting detail in the book, but I've just discovered this for, you know, I've never done it before, but it's like, it's just basics. You know, if you do your research on a company, it shouldn't dip by 20% from your buying price if you've researched it and technically it's right. If it does, something's gone wrong.
Every single one I buy would go below the 20%.
No, the reason why, you know, honestly, Steve, honestly, now, I literally, like I said,
I'm sure your rule will work, but for me, I would just have the bad luck of it not working. It's just, that's just the way it is.
So, but you want to, if you honestly, I've done it with every week in the webinar. You know this. I show my portfolio, right? And I've got two columns in my portfolio. I've got exposure and profit loss, and the color coded as well. And so you can see if it's in the red in this column, which is like profit loss, I should be in the green next column, which means I'm at 3% exposure maximum, right? So once it gets 20%, I cut. But if it's in the red, now, if it's in the green, the profit and loss column, then I should be up in my exposure. So I'm leveraging towards the winners rather than the losers. If a loser, you don't have to put a stop loss, but if you go small first and foremost, your pain will be small. If you have to cut, then it won't feel so bad. But when you go big and you're convinced on it, and there's a tendency to go big on new investments because you're excited and enthused about it. You know, you lose a bit of your mind. And so, but the thing is control, discipline. If it's going to be a winner, you want to be a big winner. And I only look for stocks that can be big winners. Then you've got plenty of time to average up and leverage towards the winner. Never leverage towards the loser. I did that in a bull market, averaging down. It's not a bad thing. I realise now, no, it's not. You can't do that. If you want a strategy, it's got to work in both bull and bear market. And that means that you know, listen, in a bull market, you can buy the dip. In a bear market, it's not a dip. It's a downtrend that lasts for 2 years and literally wipe out an entire investment, nearly, especially in microcaps. So just don't do that. Just get into a, in, into a, you know, the thing of buying stop loss, but make sure you do research first. And then hopefully that's the first part of that equation removed, holding on to losers and making them too big. So you get that right.
Well, Fred, when's the book being published?
I don't know yet. So it's like, you know, when I sit down, sometimes I'm really enthused about it. And I wake up and I really start writing like crazy. Because right. I've done a sort of a presentation style, which is a lot shorter, it's more pictures. But then I started writing it. I started, and I'm walking the dog, and I think of more things. Like, that's right. I haven't put that in, and I go back and write it up. And so, yeah. But maybe in a month or so. But
Okay.
I'll send it to you for a proofread. You were doing that, weren't you? Steve doesn't read, so he can't really proofread.
No, if you do a, if you're going to do an audiobook, I'll do a proof listen. Tea ready, Pete? Is it?
Dinner's ready.
Okay, all right. Well, that's it then, boys. Have a nice weekend. Good luck in the Six Nations, unless you're not supporting Wales.
Yeah. A quick one, by the way. Netflix, Grisella.
I've been watching that. Yeah, I quite like it.
Brilliant. It's,
yeah, brilliant. I mean, well, you know, every week on Twitter on the weekend now, I punch out a list of stuff I really liked and say any suggestions, and someone suggested that as well, and I've got into it. And normally these, but it's based on, I always like stuff based on a true story. I always like that. I hate these sort of, people sometimes suggest to me sci-fi stuff. And, no. Can you see the list of stuff I've suggested already? No sci-fi on there. Anything to do with sci-fi or cats, not interested. In fact, saying that, Killing Cats was quite good. That was very good, actually, that one. What was it called?
Oh, that was terrible.
Don't Kill Cats, was it? Was that bad? Okay.
No, that was a good documentary, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Grisella, I will watch it. Thanks for the tips, Steve.
Right, enjoy your tea. What's for tea, Pete? Quickly.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
What do you mean, don't know? You just said tea's ready. You little sod. Mm. You, like, he tries to get out of it every opportunity. Tea's ready. Yeah. What is it, Pete? Oh, no idea.
Yeah.
We haven't started yet.
Damn, you seem through me.
All right, boys. What else you got? Bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye. The Share Pickers Weekend Podcast with Justin, Paddy, Peter and Steve. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.